available in paperback. It's the Kate and Roger series by author John D. Hoffman. The first book in the series is The House Built on the Hill Can't Be Here, and it's also a movie.
Roger, that's the man I wanted to see. Could you come in for a sec?
What is it, boss?
I know this is your wife's office. I didn't want to give you bad news.
What?
The contract that I had has changed, and they've cut my pay. So, effective immediately, I'm going to have to cut you and your wife's pay as well. I'm not going to be able to pay you as a salary that I promise.
The full movie trailer can be viewed now on YouTube, and the complete movie will be ready in 2024. The second book in the series is Owe No Man Nothing But to Love Him, and it's also a movie. The book is available now on Amazon.com, along with his newly released Wealth Transfer book and movie, which is the third book of the Kate and Roger series. The Kate and Roger series by John D. Hoffman. Available now on Amazon.com. Author John D. Hoffman is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJOFM.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before Your presence, understanding everything that's wrong with us, all that is right with You. And now, Sovereign Lord, we ask for Your touch, for Your strength, for Your guidance, for Your ever-showing presence in our lives. In this moment, God, we are thankful that You have privileged us and prospered us to be in Your presence, in this place, in this space, to share together, to be with You, to commune, to worship You and praise You, and then to hear from You. How privileged we are that we can still hear from You. Not being perfect, every I is not dotted, every T is not crossed. Yet, God, You allow us to hear Your Word to be better for You. So all of us who have breath, oh God, I pray that we will be mindful, that we'll be grateful, that we'll be reverent and appreciative of what's been done for us that we could not do for ourselves. I pray today, oh God, that after You have shared with us today, that we'll be so much better. We'll be so much higher in our living, our thinking, our conversation, all that we do, that You might get the glory from our lives. Thank You for everyone that's here. Thank You, O God, for every family, every home represented, dear Lord, and I pray Your blessing upon them all. Now, God, I yield myself to You and ask, O Father, that You will speak how You want to speak. Speak, O God. Your people are listening. Speak, O God. Your people are listening. With receptive hearts and open ears, speak, O God. Your people are listening. We thank You in advance for how much better we're going to be. We thank You, Lord, and we'll stand today against any assignment of the enemy that's meant to hinder us, hurt us. We stand against it in the name of Jesus and say that He does not have reign here. He does not have rule here. Your people will grow. Your people will be saved. Your people will be blessed. Your people will be healed. Your people will be delivered in the name of Jesus. And so we count it all joy even now. In Christ's name, we thank You and we praise You. And the people of God together said, amen. Come on, bless the Lord if you really love Him today. If you really love Him, just tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you appreciate Him. If you really love the Lord today, glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 To God be the glory for another Sunday morning that He has blessed us and allowed us this privilege to share together, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. To all of our ministers and to all of our leaders and staff and to all of you who are assembled today, then to those who are online, we thank God for you on today. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. 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 As a pastor, y'all be seated real quick. As a pastor, you, my prayer today is that you will enjoy coming to the house of the Lord. I look across this room and I see so many sad faces. I see so many lethargic faces. I see so many apathetic faces. like it's just another day, like it's like it doesn't matter, like I'm just here. I see all these young people who are mad at the world, no smile. I'm looking at adults who act like they're just going through the motions. My prayer for you is that you will enjoy being in the house of the Lord, to just praise God, to bless God. Can I tell you something I've learned? Nothing is bigger than your God.
Amen.
No problem, no circumstance,
oh, yeah.
No disappointment. Can I tell you something today? Can I tell you this?
Amen.
God blessed you and I one more week.
Amen.
To come to his house. One more Sunday morning that was not guaranteed based on how we live, based on how this world goes. And your God and my God gave us one more Sunday to hear his word, to be in his presence, for a life to be changed, for a soul to be saved, for a destiny to be altered. Your grandchild got a chance because you got another day. Your household got a chance because you got another day. Your sickness got a chance to be ended because you got another. This is no ordinary Sunday morning. And my prayer is that we'll stop being so going through the motion and be excited and be enthusiastic and be looking forward to what God wants to do. I believe God still does miracles. I believe he heals the sick. I believe he raises the dead. I believe he'll provide. What's wrong with us? Where is our joy? Where is our celebration? Where is our victory? If you go check that grave, Jesus ain't there. If you go check that cross, he's gonna come down from that cross. You have victory today. Listen, 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 listen. Everybody in here is jacked up. Everybody in here got something going on in their life that ain't the way it ought to be. But somebody ought to know that you got a two-word testimony, but God. And here you are still breathing, by breathing air. It's not bigger than your God.
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm sorry. All I'm saying is that we owe God more than what we do. Don't you know we can do better than this? Don't you know you and I can do better than this? Dragging in God's house and looking around like he ain't been good. It's them prayers that nobody know you prayed that he answered. It's some doors he opened that he opened, nobody. And you mean to tell me I'm gonna sit here and look around like it don't matter? You done travel, some of y'all done traveled the highway all week long, dangerous highway, troubles on the road that you avoided because his hand was on your life. Some of y'all have been sick and God done brought you back into the house and you gonna sit there with your chest all out like you did it, like you healed yourself, like you provided for you. We ain't got enough sense to provide for ourselves. We ain't got enough knowledge to do it ourselves. It had to be a God. And this, the after all God has done, this is the best we can do. My prayer for all of you, that you will not let that or them be bigger than your God. Your God, I'm telling you what I know. Your God is bigger than that or them. And he says in his word, if I be lifted up from the earth, ask Isaiah, when he was high and lifted up and the train filled the temple, the Bible said that the glory came into the room. You see, I wonder today, I'm gonna move on, I'm gonna move on, I'm gonna move on. But I I wonder today if every one of us would decide to not be so scary and not be so prideful and not be so arrogant, and if everybody would just lift him. Do you know the glory that would fill this room? Do you know the glory that would overflow in our heart if we stop getting over who I'm mad at and what ain't right in my life and say, God, you're bigger than all that. The glory that will come in. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm excited about. It's going to happen. One of these old days, we're going to come in with no agenda. We're going to come in not worried about who's singing, who preaching, who doing what, who I'm mad at, what I ain't doing, and who over me and who ain't over me. One of these days, we're going to stop worrying about position and roles and who in charge. And we're going to say, Holy Ghost, have your way. God, be glorified. And I'm looking to the day when the glory will come in and signs and wonders will take place right in our lives. Cancer will be healed in the house. Deliverance will take place in the house. Power will come in the house. Gifting will give birth in the house. I'm excited. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for that day when men got their hands lifted with tears coming from their eyes, praying to a God, glorifying God. I'm excited. I'm excited. He's going to let me see it. He's going to let me see it. He's going to let me see it. Glory to God. Get your Bible. Get your Bible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One of these old days. One of these old days. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm looking for. Just because you're in the house, that the overflow, that you will be overflowing with blessings, that the presence of God will be at work in your life, that everywhere you walk will be a blessed place, that when you be able to speak it in the name of Jesus, it will come to pass. That while you're worrying about it, he's already got it worked out.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because of the glory.
Yes, Lord.
I'm sorry, y'all. I just don't come to church no more just for regular stuff. I'm not coming for auto service. I'm coming for an experience and an encounter with God. That's what I come to experience.
Jesus, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Psalm number 32. Give you a few scattered remarks and I'm going to get out your hair. Y'all didn't come for worship. But I'm going to keep showing up, Lord. Give me strength. I'm going to keep showing up and I'm looking for what God's going to do. I see it so clearly. I see it. So I'm going to keep showing up best I know how. Every day not an easy day. Every day not the day you want it to be. But if it's the day that the Lord made, you still got a responsibility to rejoice and be glad. Can I tell you why? Because he already told you all things, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
He's going to work it all together for your good. And you can't have all good things because you'd be spoiled rotten. So you got to have some bad things so you'll stay praying to him and talking to him. But I believe a God, y'all. I just believe God. I've seen him do too much in my own life. I've seen him do too much in y'all's life. I know I'm boring y'all already. I know I'm boring y'all. But can I got to tell y'all the truth. Some stuff ain't going to happen for us until we put God first in our lives.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. It's just something. It's not that he don't want you to have it. But he knows you're not going to put him first. And he's not going to violate his word. Because his word tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then everything you need going to be added. You got to stop making your job bigger. Making these people bigger. These circumstances bigger and make him first in your life and you'll have peace beyond you. I'm almost through now. Psalm 32, beginning at verse number 1. I'm already in trouble, so the Lord I'm at a point in my life and my ministry. I'm not trying to be popular. Because see, popularity and this prosperity stuff is making us sad Christians. We have no substance because we don't deal enough with the truth. And so today I got to deal with the real truth about who we are for a few moments, okay? And I'm going to give you a disclaimer. Everybody in here guilty. From the pulpit to the pew. And you'll never get what God want to get. Point finger to somebody else. Amen. Psalm 32, are you there? Beginning verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Y'all can sit down right there. Thank you so much. Wrath was the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And for a few moments, I got to wrestle with you from this thought, solving my sin problem. Solving my sin problem. My assignment today is to make every last one of us uncomfortable. Solving, overcoming, dealing with, addressing my sin problem with your deep self. With your anointed self. With your spiritual self. We are called. Why would God on this day talk to all us good people about solving our own sin problem? And you can't address it until you recognize the fact that every last one of us have our own personal sin problem. Let me get to my manuscript. That's keeping me. It's a strange season in the body of Christ. Y'all know this ain't gonna last long. We're challenged like we've never been challenged before. It's a strange season. For a few moments, we got to talk about this unpopular term that is not used in the 21st century church. I'm not talking about anointing, not talking about power, not talking about prosperity. I got to talk to you for a few minutes about this word called sin. This term is not used in the church anymore. It's a word that is now taboo because now if you don't deal with sin, you don't have to deal with the ugliness in your life. Society will have us geared toward everything that's right about us instead of us dealing with the things that are wrong about us. You see, we're in a culture now that has to be politically correct and not spiritually correct. Everybody can be easily offended in this day and age. So much so that you got to watch what you say before you mess around and get canceled. People easily can cancel that thing that's not popular. If it's something I don't want to hear, I'll just cancel you. I'll no longer follow you on Instagram and Snap. I'll stop coming to your church. I'll withhold my tithes and offerings. I'll sit there and fold my arms and look at you all crazy. I will counsel you if you talk to me and offend me. And so the world we live in now, I've got to tell you that it's just okay to be how you are. It's okay to be mean as hell and to be malicious and to be grouchy and to do anything you want to do and say anything you want to say and go anywhere you want to go. That's what we want to hear. That's going to be all right anyhow. But that's not really what's true. Because brothers and sisters, if we don't deal with our sin, we won't appreciate our salvation. Amen. Until you address your sin, you won't know how bad off you are and how much you need the Lord.
And maybe, God, thank you. Maybe you answered my question for the last 50 minutes. Some of us have been in this room, and we think we're so good, and we think we're so bad, and we think we're so relevant, and we think we're so important, and we think we're so valuable. But some of us ought to come in the house today knowing if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I know where I would be. Some of us ought to approach today and say, as bad as I've been, as much dirt as I've done, and the Lord still look down and reach down and save my soul, I can't help but lift my hand. When I think about how far I come, think about the mess I was in, about the dirt I've done, and God still gave me breath, and God still gave me life, I can't help but give him glory. I can tell some of us don't deal enough with sin because we don't understand, if it was not for my sin, I would not appreciate my salvation. And I ought to have about two or three people who realize I got to give God glory because I know how it could be. Yeah. 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 Our sinfulness. Our. Now, here it is, y'all. Y'all ready? This ain't the day to look at somebody else. There it is. There it is, Mac. There it is, man. This is not the day because it's so easy to look out a window but never in a mirror. And here's my word for you. It take one. To know one. You wouldn't know how dirty folk are unless you have the capacity and the propensity and the capability to be just as dirty as they are. That's how you know what they're doing, because you've been there and have done that. And if it ain't for the grace of God, you will still be doing it. Let me go and help the house. Some of us have just gotten too old, and we just can't do the same sin, but some of us still got sin in our hearts. Until the day you die, you and I got to wrestle with our sin situation. Just because you can't do some stuff don't mean you don't want to. And that make you just as guilty as those who can do it. I don't see how she can do it the same way you did 30 years ago. That's how. That's how. Same way. NBA young boy today. Bobby Blue Bland yesterday. Somebody ought to help me. This word sin is so unpopular. And y'all, it's been present ever since the fall of man in Eden. That sin has been present. And I'm going to tell you deep folks something real quick. You can't rebuke it. Here's the shout for saved folk. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. And then when the Lord comes back, we will be saved from the presence of sin. But the Lord ain't come back yet, which means that sin is still rampant even in the church. Get over it. Get past it. You even got sinful stuff that happened in church. So I don't know why you get past all this stuff. I thought I would find better at church. I didn't think people would hurt me at church. Hell, if they'll hurt you at the grocery store, they'll hurt you in church. Hell, if they'll mess with you everywhere else, they'll do it. The devil don't care about your joy. He don't care about your peace. Grow up. Grow up! I thought I would find love. Are you loving? I thought I ain't nobody gonna hurt. I got church. You ain't got grocery store hurt. You ain't got work hurt. Preach, Black Bar. Preach, Ham. Everywhere, the only place you're hurt is at church. We got to deal with our sin. Understand today that we got to cope with this as we live and function in this world. This popcorn religion and this prosperity gospel in this world we live in has made us not take a look at ourselves. It's made us take this approach that it's everybody else, and if not me. It's given the most sinful people a victim syndrome. It's making the guilty feel innocent. and the innocent feel guilty. That now truth offends and lies make us happy. Because of the prevalence of sin and because we don't deal with it enough, because preachers and teachers won't stand boldly and tell us about ourselves and tell us about our heart, we're living with people who don't have any joy, who have no peace, who have no power to live past that door. Because we don't deal with the sin. We tell people you go in that water, your hands look, come out, your hands look new, and your feet do too, but they don't tell you that you got to go back and live. You still got that same man at the house, them same children at the house, you still got that same job, and you're going to be faced with how to handle sin. Them old nooks and crooks going to still be out there. It'll still be attractive. Talk, man. Y'all ain't got quiet on me. That those same habits, those same things will still attract you. So that's why you ought to be in the house of God. That's why you need to be in Bible study. That's why you need to be understanding so you can know how, what not to do. Now, for most of us, ain't no sense in us being this ignorant. Because we have opportunities to learn to be better. Sin. Our text today. And Psalm 32 is a companion to Psalm 51. David is a penitential, not penitentiary, penitentiary, but penitent psalm. It's a psalm of I'm sorry. Psalm number 32 is also called a mashiel. Can the church say mashiel? It is a Hebrew instructional psalm. It's meant to teach you something. And David aspires to teach us something. David writes this psalm after, can the church say after? After coming out of something. Now, this is the same David that's anointed. Same David that's appointed. Same David that's got power. Same David that's got position. Same David that's got influence. But he's also the same David that say, I sinned. I'm going to try it one more time. It's the same David who has the anointing. Speaking tongues, can't speak in English. Same anointing, same power. He's a great warrior. He's a great king, a great leader. But he's got a sinful nature. And David says, you can't have one. And can I tell you what's done happened? That we come in here and try to leave sin in the car. And I come in and try to give off what I got left. And that's why we ain't got no joy and no power, no praise. It's because the real me ain't even in here. Because you so busy trying to hide from God. But can I pop your bubble? You can't hide from your God. God saw it when you did it. He heard it when you said it. He was there before you even got there. You can't have one without the other. And somebody done fooled you to believe in. You can't bring that sin problem to him. He'll have you so worried about looking cute that you won't see how criminal you are in your heart. He'll have you shouting so much because you'll be distracted from hearing God challenge you. Come to church in front for an hour and a half or so. Just let me go on pretend, then go back to misery because we don't deal with our own personal sin problem. Now, your Bible teaches you in the book of Romans, if I can help somebody real quick, does not say y'all have sinned. Your Bible says all. Now lift your hand if everybody, if you include in all. So how dare you fix your mouth and fix your eyes? Because just because you sin different. Don't mean you ain't got no sin. Don't judge somebody because they sin different. Now David's sin here points us to 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. As a king, he desired this woman named Bathsheba, who was on top of the house cleansing herself. Now, if I had time, I would ask a lot of questions as the ma'am, why are you up there in the open? Okay. And David is watching her, and David's my. He went Johnny Gill, my. He saw Bathsheba cleansing herself, and he got attracted. And because of the nature of David, it caused him to plan a sin. He said, I want her. And I don't care how I got to get her, I want her. See, your flesh don't care. And every day we got a battle between our flesh and our spirit. As much as spirit tell you right, your body go, flesh go say, get it. So, Bible says that he went into her. He called her over, went into her. That's Old Testament talk for he got her. I like how the Old Testament said he went into her and lay with her. That's the best way to say it, because now we say it in different ways now. So he got her pregnant. Y'all listening? This is what happened. Because of the desire, other sins now trying to cover one sin. So he after a series of trying to get Uriah, her husband, in trouble, he tried to set him up so he would go home, and then he would not be found as the father. He wanted Uriah to go home and then lay with Bathsheba so he would not be traced as the father. But Uriah wouldn't go home. Uriah was so devoted to him that he was so busy taking care of David, David taking care of his house. Different story, different sermon, different time. So David said, I'm going to conspire now to have Uriah killed. He puts Uriah on the front line of the worst battle and had Uriah killed. So now he thought that the slate would be clean. And now, what did he do? He married Bathsheba. And she has a baby. Fast forward a little further. God sends a prophet by the name of Nathan. And he gives him a story about how would you handle certain things if somebody did the wrong thing. And David said, get him. So Nathan said, oh, really, King David? He said, well, I got news for you, King David. You are the man. What do you do when the prophet don't know what you did, but God know what you did, and then God had the same prophet come tell you what you did, and instead of getting mad at God, you get mad at the prophet? Nathan told him, you are the man. David sinned not only against God, but David sinned against himself, Bathsheba. And then watch this, y'all. There's some stuff, I'm going to deal with it in a minute, but some stuff that messed up his house because of that sin. So David had enough sense. When the Lord convicts you, Lord, forgive me. He did what? He owned it. I don't know what it is about us. God done told you. God, you can't worship Sunday. He told you again. He sent your children. They told you, Mama, you wrong. You went and talked to a buddy. They told you you're wrong. You went and Googled it. AI told you you're wrong. And now you look at those five areas, and now you made yourself a victim. Everybody against me. How are they against you by telling you something you did? This thing got quiet in my church this morning. I could see if God wasn't telling you the truth about yourself. And watch this. Whether you mad or not, it's still the truth. Where are all my amens? How you get mad off something that is given to you by this and is meant to tell you about yourself, and instead of you dealing with the reality, you do what they call is deflect. Well, what about you? You ain't perfect either. Everybody in the church is hypocrites. That's why we're here. You the only one that ain't got on board with what's wrong with you. I know I'm messed up. I don't need you to tell me I'm a sinner saved by grace. I don't need you to tell me I need the Lord to help me. You the one that ain't caught up yet. That's why I praise God like I do. That's why I preach like I do. Because I know God done touched me. I know God done helped me. And I know I need him to help me again. Day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. I know I'm messed up. When you gonna catch up? But y'all, the truth is still. David, in Psalm 51, create in me clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit. You see that? You see that? He said it earlier in Psalm 51, Lord, I did it. I confess my sin against you. And I'm asking you now, God, to purge me. Cleanse my heart, because there ain't nothing wrong with you. Ain't nothing wrong with your will, God. I done let life get me to a point I'm messing up. It's not you. It's not people. It's not the pastor. It's not the deacon. It's not my husband. It's not my wife. Lord, I done let life get me off path, and I'm coming to you now saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your touch. I need your embrace. I need your cleansing. I need your healing. I'm broken. I'm messing up, and Lord, I'm confessing it. I need to get back right with you. Thank you, Lord. And that's what's wrong with some of us today. We need a clean slate with God. You trying to get right with your boo. You trying to get right with bae. But your problem is you ain't got right with God. Until you and God get right, you'll never get right with them. You'll never get right at the job. Never get right in the church. Somebody got to come back to God today. Somebody got to get back right with God. Somebody to have a conversation with God. It ain't them. It's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. Let me hurry. Let me hurry. If you're interested in solving your sin problem, three quick hints I'm going to give you. I done hear y'all too long already. Are y'all interested in hearing them? Yes. If you want to try to solve your sin problem, here are some things that we can do. Number one, aspire for a clear conscience. Lord. Aspire for a clean conscience. Got your Bible open? Look at verse number one. First word he says in verse number one is the same word as in Psalm number one, blessed. Okay, see, this is the problem. It's the problem. Now y'all worry about them notes? You better hear God. Because ain't no sense if you put it on the paper and never take out the paper and put it in your heart. Don't try to impress me. Let me see what you want me to do. And I ain't finna do a thing of it. So I'd rather you hear and receive it, then write anything down today. Stop, don't play that game. I was a school teacher. I know people really taking notes and people taking inventory. And today ain't no day to take notes. Today's a day to take inventory. See your heart, see your soul, say, look, because guess what? I'm gonna do everything I can to teach this thing so clear that you understand what God's telling you. Don't try that game today. Let me busy myself writing notes so I ain't gotta, ooh, that's me. Let me write that down so I ain't gotta deal with it. Y'all think y'all slick, don't you? Aspire for a clear conscience. Got your Bible? He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now watch this. We ought to listen to advice from somebody who's been there and done that. You need to talk to somebody who has been forgiven. And you need to talk to somebody who knows that they needed to be forgiven. Can I tell you what's wrong with us? We got the wrong counselors. We have people in church now telling you, if you want to get to where I am, do like me. See, we paint these pictures up in here that we don't mess up, that our I's are dotted, our T's are crossed, because we look so great in here on church. We have our Bibles and big old Bibles, and we have these old chains and necklaces, and we have all this regalia, and we look like we never made a mistake, and you look like if you don't care, watch us, we'll float all around the room like a bunch of angels because we've been that good, we've been that great. But you need to talk to somebody who's a gangster, who said, if it had not been for God, I'd be done shot somebody right now. You need somebody with some scars on them who say, if it had not been for God, he wouldn't have brought me out of that darkness. You need to talk to somebody who said, I was messed up, but God found me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You need to have some people around you who will tell the truth. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. David is talking, my friends, after. Now let me put this in the gumbo while I'm still cooking. Let me say this to you. I don't need deep people right now focusing on which sin. Because just because you ain't do what David did, this just happened to be the particular sin that got canonized. But I know us. And so you'll think because you're not an adulterer, you ain't on the hook. Oh, well, I don't do that, so I ain't got to worry about that. It ain't about what. That's why David ain't put in 32 and 51 what he did. He puts in there, I did something. Boy, if you don't teach this thing. Because I know how we'll do. We'll try to eliminate where I'm guilty so I can feel good about myself. Today ain't no day to feel good about yourself. Today's the day to say, Lord, that's me. Oop, that's me again. Ouch, Lord, that's me again. Oop, Lord, that's me again. So, it's not about particular sin. It ain't about which particular sin. You need to learn a lesson from somebody who's been a sinner. Watch this. Here's your shout. You sin, you set somebody else up to die, David, and God gave you life. Well, y'all, actually, adultery in Old Testament, he should have been killed. Missed it. What should have happened didn't happen. And you live to tell the story about how God forgave you and restored. That's why I don't understand why y'all looking like y'all looking up in this church. Because if God could really do like you really deserve, none of us would be here today. How dare you look down your nose? How dare you be looking around? If God really was fair, baby, you and I would not be here today. Can anybody give God about 10 seconds of praise, thanking God about what did not happen, everything I deserve, but he did not do it. I live to tell the story. Let me hurry. You got to aspire for a clear conscience. He says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. A transgression, my friends, is rebellion from God. It's rebellion. That means you knew better. Don't shut down on me now. It meant you in church was raised better than that and still made a choice to act a fool. That's what a rebel child does. You done taught them right and they rebel against the teaching. And some of us are some 60-year-old rebels, 55-year-old rebels. You know what the right thing is to do, but you chose to get your way and you are really not showing people, you are showing God, I don't want your way. That's why he says, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Y'all missed your shout. Watch this. Adam, Eve fell in the garden. They violated God's law. They rebelled. And the Bible says when he called them out and said, Adam, where art thou? They looked up and found leaves. Y'all missed it. They fell. They messed up. They violated God's law. The enemy tricked them. Satan tricked them. The serpent messed them over. They ate forbidden fruit. They sinned. They missed the mark. They transgressed. They rebelled against what God said. And God called them out on it in the garden. And he said, where are you, Adam? And then the Bible says when they realized they sinned, they also looked and realized they were covered. Isn't that just like your God, that even though he calls you out personally on your mess up, on your mistake, your shout today is that God kept you covered. Because if anybody really knew the real you, they wouldn't sit by you today. If people knew the real you, all the stuff you done, they wouldn't listen to you preach. But can anybody give God praise that even though I dealt with consequences, I'm still covered? Yes, Lord. My soul might get happy in a minute. That's why you can't have the big head, because you're covered. That's why you can't be arrogant, because you're covered. It's some stuff God didn't expose. Man, Bruce, if people knew the real us, man, if they knew every testimony, if they knew everywhere we've been, Everything was said. Somebody give God about 5 seconds. Say, thank you for covering me. That's why he calls you blessed, fortunate, happy. Here's your shout, y'all. God got you looking better than you've been living. Not only do you not look like what you've been through, you don't look like what you did. Can anybody give God glory? I don't look like what I did. I don't look like that alcoholic. I don't look like that prostitute. I don't look like that liar. I don't look like that mess maker. God has covered me and cleaned me up. Let me push. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Iniquity points to being worn, weaved, twisted. You're shaped. That's why David said in Psalm 51, I was shaped in iniquity. I was twisted. The world made me. I let other people help make me to be like this. I fell for unsound doctrine. I tried to be like everybody else. I was shaped like this. And here's what the word impute means. It means it's got to go on the books. Because sin is a debt. And sin has to be paid. Because God is a God who is just. And sin must be paid for because God will not violate what he already said. And so God said sin got to be paid for. But before Christ, the people who committed the sin had to go through the process of getting the sin cleansed. But then somebody noticed after a while that the same people kept coming back because they kept on sinning. I get one thing right, here came something else. I had to come to the altar for that. Now I got to come to the altar for this. And so God said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to come down here myself, and I'm going to wrap myself up in humanity, and I'm going to pay the price for the sin debt. And that's why you can't be arrogant. That's why you can't be up in it, because somebody paid the price. That was something with your name on it, but now it's not on there because Jesus paid. It's the equivalent of going out to eat, and when it's time to pay the bill, that waiter come tell you somebody already paid it for you. You the one sat down and ate, you the one who incurred the expense, but somebody else paid the price. And that's what Jesus did for every one of your sins, past, present, and future, that you sat down. You the one got crazy. You the one lived like a fool. You the one who went astray, but Jesus paid. And you're going to come up here and not praise him. You're going to come in here and not give him glory. You're going to make your praise be about who you mad at. You're going to make your worship be about what ain't right in your life. Can I tell you, baby, if not for the grace of God, things would be worse. Try being broke and headed to hell. Try being sick and headed to hell. Try being divorced and headed to hell. Try having a headache and be headed to hell. Try fighting over a position in church and still headed to hell. So you ought to want to live like your conscience is clear. Look at, in other words, you can live not owing nobody. That when you have been forgiven, you can walk in a freeness. And I don't care what people try to bring up on you. I don't care what they try to say about you. I don't care what they try to do to you. When the Lord has forgiven you, here's what he do with your sin. He take that thing and he throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. It don't matter what they tweet. It don't matter what they snap. It don't matter what they say. It don't matter what they try to text. It don't matter what they try to bring up. Because he who the Son has set free. I'm about there. Here it is. If you go solve the sin problem, here's what you got to do. You got to aspire for a clear conscience. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody in this room who wants to go to bed all right with God? I'm learning I can handle people being mad at me. But I don't do too good if I ain't got that thing right with God. Because, see, it's going to be him I'm going to need to wake me up in the morning. It's going to be him I'm going to need to have angels watch over me. It's going to be him I'm going to need to keep me by. Them jokers I'm worried about, they ain't going to keep me day by day. They not going to watch over me. But I got a God who don't slumber or sleep. Let me leave y'all alone. Y'all ain't come here. Watch this. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. That means ain't no tricks being played. The slate is clean. But David writes this psalm really from backwards to forward. He said, because most of us are not starting out forgiven. Because most of us won't even recognize the need we have for forgiveness. So David really gives us a map. If you want to get to the destination, here is the path. You want to end up to a place today where you can have a clear conscience. See, that's why I've been not bothered these kind of people, because I love them. I ain't mad at them. This is why dope dealers don't rest. Because they always got to worry about who going to get them next. But when you don't owe nobody nothing, and you've loved your neighbor best you can, and you've done what's honorable to God, and even if you fall short during the day, say, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Lord, give me another day to get that thing right. When you can go to bed, baby, you can sleep. But some of us on medicine because we ain't got things right with God. Some of us got to drink ourselves like a fish because we ain't desensitized ourselves because we have not got things right with God. So if you're interested, because were y'all okay with point one? I'm asking for a reason. Everybody kind of cool with point one? Because we're about to take a turn. So I'm asking now. Am I still the pastor of the New Zion Missionary Baptist Church off point one? Because I may be asked for a resignation in point number two. But I trust God. So I'm going to do it, Lord. If you go solve the sin problem, aspire a clear conscience. Secondly, avoid consequences from a cover-up. Now I applaud y'all who still with me trying. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. That's all right, Rip. Yeah. Yeah. I applaud y'all for hanging with me on that. As tough as that was, I appreciate you. Avoid consequences of a cover-up. You got your Bible still? Look what David says. When I kept silent. I sure will, Sister Joan. I did it and refused to confess it. Let me go deeper. I did it. I committed it and got convicted and still wouldn't confess it. I did it. I committed it. God sent word or God sent confirmation that I did it, which convicted me. It made me, it's the picture of today being said, I'm feeling some type of way. That's convicted, children, young people. That's when you start feeling some type of way. And you get convicted and then still say, I ain't gonna confess that. Is somebody gonna help me? I did it. God saw it. God convicted me, but I wouldn't confess it. David says, when I kept silent. And Zion, a portion of our problem today is unconfessed sin. that we don't have enough integrity to even tell God. Now, we're not Catholic, because I've been trying to figure out how I can do this. We're not Catholic, and the deacons messed with me about this not too long ago, that in the Catholic Church, you can go to a confessional. And they don't see you. You don't see them. You in a little room, they're in a little room, and you, I mean, man, you just get it all out. But the old school Catholic, you got to slide something under the door. And they're called indulgences. And when you slide your indulgences, you are believed to have your sins to be forgiven. I'm here most days in the afternoon. You won't know I'm here. But just slide whatever going on. Have a little, I know you for have a little talk with Jesus, but have a little talk with your pastor. That's amazing how the Catholic believe the benefit of confession. But somehow, some way, we have westernized it, and we don't feel the need to confess it. What we do is cover it. Let me do these good works and cover it. Let me be extra faithful and cover it. Let me counteract what I did and just cover it. And most of us in this room are living with a cover-up. Because you just think, if I can just outlive it with my good works, I'll never deal with what I did. Because I'm too much of a preacher to confess it. I've been in church too long to confess it. They gonna think there's something wrong with me if I confess it. I've been a deacon all this time. I've been on the board all this time. Everybody think I'm a good guy. Everybody think I'm a good lady. If I confess it, they gonna know I ain't always perfect. And I've been letting people think I'm perfect. I live some stuff. And I'm living with a cover-up. And every now and then, here's how I know I'm giving you the truth. Every now and then, don't God bring that thing back up to you? You ride smooth, and then one out of nowhere, you ride. You try to shake yourself out of it. Not what was done to you, but what you did. Because, see, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what these folk tell you. God will not have you deal with others, and you ain't dealt with yourself.